Blog Talk Radio.
Well, my heart is full. Hey, now, my heart is full. Hey,
my soul for you. Thank you. God will answer your yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That the Lord has granted us another awesome Sunday to come and break bread. And we always like to say this is the day that the Lord has made. We are already rejoicing, and we are glad. We are glad because the Lord has allowed us to enter into this day. This day that we have never seen before, and this day that we will never ever see again. So we are excited to give him glory, to give him honor, to give him praise. Oh, my God, to just release an anointing in the atmosphere that will destroy yokes, that will remove burdens. Let me see what's going on here with this Bluetooth here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Something going on here. Come on in. Come on in. So we are actually excited because he brought us into this beautiful day. Today we are going to be talking about spiritual deliverance. We ministered this some couple of years ago, but we are coming back to a lot of stuff that we have done before as the Lord has given us greater understanding. How many of you know that when the Lord give you greater understanding, you have to use it? Let us go. I'm going to use this Bible that I bought here, the Evidence Study Bible, New King James Version, the Evidence Study Bible. I want to read out of chapter 8, starting at verse 26 of Luke, down to about 37 or 38, somewhere around there, and see where the Lord takes us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me pull it up in the NLT also so I can see in the NLT where I want to go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this is talking about healing. Jesus is the healer, not the man, not the woman, not the deacon, not the elder, not the usher, not the prophet, not the apostle, not the bishop. Jesus is the healer. And when we understand that he is the healer, now we give him all the glory. We'll go down to verse 39. It's far down from 26, verse 26 to verse 39, NLT. So here in the Evidence Study Bible, the Bible declares that then they sailed to the country of Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he, Jesus, stepped out on the land, they met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes. In other words, he was naked. He was demon-possessed, and he wore no clothes, nor did he live in any house. He was homeless, but he lived in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before Jesus, with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. See, when Jesus saw the man, he knew that the man had these demons. Because Jesus is God all by himself. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God all by himself. So he knew everything that you and I, that us, that we, the people of God, are going through. He know what the world is going through. He know what the world is facing right now with all of these satanic worshipers. He know what the world is facing. And he is protecting his children. Don't think that he's leaving us out there in the open with no help. He is our helper. Glory to God. So it's no need for us, for us, children of God, to be afraid. He said, they're not giving the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So why are we afraid? Because these satanic worshipers, these witches and warlocks are showing up all over the place. They're showing up worshiping Satan because that's all they know. That's all they know. And they want the easy way out. What are you saying, Apostle? They want the easy way out because they want to be, they believe if they worship Satan, Satan is going to make them rich, but they don't understand that Satan's desire is their soul. Satan don't mind giving them the best clothes, the best cars, the best homes, the best job and all that stuff. He don't mind doing that. Why? Because he's the God of this world. He represents this world. And he don't mind giving them all of these things because he know in the long run he's going to have control over their hearts. So this man, Jesus commanded the demons to come out of him, and then the demons begin to speak to God. They begin to speak to Jesus, saying, well, don't torment us. Why have you come to torment you, son of the Most High God? They know that Jesus is powerful, and the demons begin to speak to him. They beg him not to torment them, for he had commanded the unclean spirits to come out of the man. For it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. Now, the shackles and the chains that they had this man in could not keep him. Could not keep him bound because the demons was so powerful that he was not the chains like there was threads. There were just threads. They had no power over him. And he'd go into the wilderness running. The demons would take him all kind of places and cause him to cut himself and all this stuff. So it said, Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. They didn't want to go into the never-ending darkness, the abyss. They begged Jesus, because they knew that Jesus could send them or cast them any way that he wanted to. We're talking about spiritual deliverance. A lot of times we are dealing with all types of spirits, and we don't recognize that these spirits are coming trying to control us, and the only thing that can set us free is Jesus Christ. I come to tell you this on this Sunday morning. The only thing that can set is just like using cocaine or heroin or fentanyl or something, some drug that is so powerful that you think you have power. You know, you watch these young people that are using all this fentanyl and they're dying. They don't want to stay on the fentanyl. But the drug has such a power, such a hold on them, that even though they say, well, mama, daddy, brother, sister, I'm not going to use that stuff anymore. I don't care. I'm not going to use it anymore, mama. I'm finished. As soon as they get $2, they're going to look for somebody. They're going to look for the man or the woman who's selling that stuff. Why? Because they have no power. They have no power over it. They can't get off it on their own. They want to be off it. I knew when I was using years ago, 30 plus years ago when I was using, and I want to. I used to tell myself, I'm not going to use anymore. And I really meant that. because I didn't have no money. But as soon as I got money, I could hear the drug talking to me. I could hear it speaking to my spirit. Go on down to the crack man. Go on down to the dope man and buy you some powder. Go on down there and buy some crack. Go on down there. You know, they got some good stuff down there. You can hear it speaking to you. It's a spirit. It speaks to you. And, you know, people say, well, I'm not going to use. And they will end up at the minimum. I'm not going down. I'm not picking up a prostitute tonight. I'm going to stay with my girl tonight. I'm going to stay with my wife. You know, and you'll find yourself going where you don't want to go. Why? Because that demon that's controlling that vice that has you in control, turning you every which way he wants to. You're like a puppet on a string. He's turning you, causing you to say what you don't want to say, to do what you don't want to do. That's the demon. We don't realize it. We don't realize it until it gets so bad that we are acting up and we're fighting and cussing and all that stuff because the demon does that. The demon take control. Once you give him the upper hand, they say if you give him an inch, you take a mile, and that's a true saying. It's true. So the demons here begin to talk to Jesus. They're begging Jesus. They're not commanding Jesus. They're begging Jesus not to cast them in the abyss. No. A herd of many swine or pigs, hogs, was feeding there on the mountain. So they beg him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. They begged Jesus, look, don't cast us in there. There's some pigs over there, some hogs over there feeding. Send us into the pigs. They wanted a body. The demons need a body to live in there. They can't accomplish what they want. They want what they need to accomplish on their own. They need a body. That's why they would penetrate and infiltrate. They're coming to our hearts, coming to our minds, and have us doing their bidding. They want us to kill one another. They want us to get mad with each other, fuss with each other. They can't do it on their own. They want Christian believers to fight with one another. But they can't do it. So they'll use another believer. Hallelujah. They use another believer to get mad with the other believer. And then they laugh. The demons laugh. So I got them now. They're fighting. They can't even do what their father called them to do. They're now busy fighting with each other. This is what demons. They need a body. So he cast them into the pigs. You know, when I remember preaching this and teaching this, and you know, every time I teach it, it comes back in the mind. Then the demons went out of the man and into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep hill into the lake and drowned. Even the pigs, even the hogs didn't want the demons in them. And you see today how people, they're going after the Satan, that Satan worshiping. They're coming from all over the world. Because they send out a telegram to all of the Satan sects to come to Boston, come to Boston, Jesus. We are renting the convention center, something like that. We can hold thousands of people and they can go in there and set up a statue of Baphomet. And they're going to worship Satan here in Boston. Wicked place. Listen what he says. He says, verse 34, when those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Now, you know that is some power. Can nobody could tame this man? No, not one man in the city could tame him. Nobody could bound him. They put chains and fetters on him. Chains and shackles on him. And no sooner they put the chains on him, put it in handcuffs, he'll break the handcuffs. that put the shackles around his feet. He has just snapped the shackles. Power, the power of the demons that was in him. They had him so powerful. But when Jesus came, Jesus removed the demons and he became like a baby. He was at the feet of Jesus Christ, humble, in a state of humility, sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, worshiping Jesus. Hallelujah. But look, the people of the town, of the city came. And once they see, they're not concerned about this man. People don't say, well, I'm so glad she's not selling her body anymore. I'm so glad he not in the adultery. He not fornicating. I'm so glad he not selling drugs. I'm not, so glad he not a homosexual or lesbian anymore. She's not selling her body, being pimped by some man. They don't say that. They just look and say, well, the money that they lost, they're losing from her selling her body. The money they're losing from him selling the drugs. That's all they look at. And the people came and they saw the man sitting at Jesus' feet. Hallelujah. The demons had left him. He's clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. He left the city. You would think if you had a man, a woman in the city that is operating with such power and such authority that he could cast out demons out of a demon-possessed man, that you would want to keep him a little longer in your city. People now are buying tickets. Even Christians, even some so-called believers are buying tickets to go to be part of this satanic convocation that they have in downtown Boston. They said, this is what I hear them saying on the internet and on the news, the television. We just want to go and see what they're doing. What do you got to go see what the devil is doing? You know what God has already done. Jesus said, what fellowship have we have with the devils? What fellowship does light have with darkness? No fellowship. Do you notice that every time you turn on a light, the darkness disappears? Because you can't have light and darkness together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he says, they warned him to leave their city. It says, they also who have seen it told him by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding regions of the Gadarenes asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear, and he got into the boat and departed. Verse 38, the man from whom the demons had departed begged Jesus that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house, your own family, and tell them what great things God, tell them what great things God has done for you. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Now, see, excuse me, I want you to know something. That when you know that you know that you know that you're healed by God, you cannot keep it. People are going to try to stop you from talking, telling your testimony. But when you know that God has delivered you, you can't keep it to yourself. Hallelujah. And they sing a song, what God has done for me, I can't keep it to me. I can't keep it to myself. I got to tell somebody. The young man from Nigeria is singing that song, see what the Lord has done. What he promised has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. See what God promised you. God promised us. When we look and we see that God has promised us all of these things. And look, they're coming to pass. One after one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus, in his account, Luke, in this incident, Luke stressed the saving of the man in verse 36. The fear of the spectators in verse 37. And the abyss as the final destiny of the demons, verse 31. As Jesus had calmed the sea, he now calmed this demon-afflicted man. Remember that miracle he did. He calmed the sea. And the disciples have said, what kind of man is this? What manner of man is this that even the waters, even the sea, even the wind, oh, my God, obey him. And when Jesus got out of the boat, he met this man that was demon-possessed. He got to show them the greater miracles than just speaking to the wind. There had always been a fascination with the angelic world, including both the holy angels and the unholy demons. The Bible gives us many glimpses into things yet unseen, but it never gives detailed description. Those without knowledge of the Bible indulge in a lot of speculation, including the thought that deceased people become angels. You know, a lot of people believe that when their loved ones die, they become angels, but not so. That is not the truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here we see that Luke is declaring this thing and making it so plain for us. Because people believe that when their loved ones, their husband, their wife, their children, sons or daughters, brothers or sisters die, that they become angels. It is not so. It's not written in the Bible. Hallelujah. Many people are indulging in witchcraft and sorcery. What is clear from Scripture is the truth that demons are more powerful than we want to give them credit for. I want you to understand this. Don't play with demons. Those who dabble in the occult usually do not realize what they are encountering. They verge on the reality of allowing Satan into their lives in dangerous ways. In the Bible, we find that those who were freed from such satanic influence were delivered from evil. In Luke chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Various manuscripts have given several different names to the country of the gathering, including Gergesenes and Gergesenes. The exact location of this particular area cannot be definitely determined, but we do know it was situated on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. Many maps show a town called Gadara as part of the region of the Decapolis, which was made up of 10 Greek cities. This would place the country somewhere to the southeast of the Sea of Galilee. What is significant about Jesus' trip there is that He went into Gentile territory. We are quite certain of this being Gentile territory because there would not have been a large herd of pigs in Jewish territory. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 7 to 8. It makes it clear that those animals were unclean to Jews. Luke was evidently showing that Jesus purposely made such a trip, since Luke is also the author of Acts, in which there is detailed information about the gospel to the Gentiles. We understand his motive here. When Jesus and his disciples landed, they were met by a demon-possessed man. Three facts are recorded about him. He was running about naked, and he lived among the tombs in a cemetery instead of in a house. These tombs were carved out of hillsides, resulting in caves-like mausoleums. Whether people made tombs with more than one chamber in preparation for several members, family members, the not used chambers could be used for shelter by men like this. The demons feared Jesus. The man came to meet the boat as Jesus and his disciples were exiting it. His motive was probably to attempt to scare them away, at least until he recognized Jesus. As soon as the man recognized Jesus, he cried out and fell on his face before him. This was not worship, but rather grudging submission to Jesus. He apparently shouted out to Jesus at the top of his voice in a combination of fear, anger, and defense. When he cried, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus?" Luke chapter 8, verse 28. He was uttering a request to be left alone. Perhaps it was an acknowledgement that they had absolutely nothing in common with each other, light and darkness, evil, righteousness, holiness. Jesus healed and gave life, but demons destroyed. The demon's primary request was not to be tormented. This was a clear admission of their recognition of Jesus' authority over them and his ability to exercise judgment upon them. Demons know that their ultimate fate is eternal imprisonment, as will be seen in the next verse, verse 31. The demons have power. Luke chapter 8, verse 29. The demons have power, but not over Jesus. They have power over the unsaved person, the person that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You see, when you come to the realization that Jesus is your Lord, he is your Savior, he delivered you from the attacks of the enemy. The enemy is going to still try to attack you, but he can't do nothing to you, anything to you, because you have been washed in the blood. Now, Jesus had already commanded this demon and his companions to leave this man. He knew how powerful these demons were and what they had been doing in and through this man. Demons hear everything associated with God and his plan And this is especially true about their hatred for his people. Demons do not love God's people because the demons know that God's people possess God's spirit. Do you know that? You have God's spirit. We have God's spirit. The demonic objective is to destroy them in any way that will fulfill Satan's purposes. They are completely devoted to evil and the accomplishment of the will of their master, Satan. Their power can be seen in what they were doing with this man. He exhibited such physical strength, being empowered by the demons inhabiting him, that others were unable to subdue him. Notice the demons making a request in Luke chapter 8, verse 30 to 31. When Jesus asked the demon his name, he replied, Legion. Luke says there were many demons in him. A Roman legion was numbered between 3,000 and 6,000 men, which indicates the number of demons was very large, even if not exactly that many. Now that all of them recognized the authority Jesus had over them, they repeatedly begged him not to send them into the deep, into the abyss. Luke chapter 8, verse 31. We can only imagine what this cacophony of voices must have sounded like. Cacophony of voices, funny word, must have sounded like. They knew he was not going to allow them to stay in the man. So they were eager for an alternative. Do you know that Satan would never want to just leave? He always going to beg to do something that's different. They knew he was not going to allow them to stay in the man. So they were eager for an alternative. They did not, however, want to be sent to the most dreaded place they knew about. The Greek word is abyssos, referring to an abyss, bottomless pit, darkness. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, it refers to an angel from heaven being given the key to the bottomless pit, and Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 3, refers to it as the place occupied by Satan during the millennium. 2 Peter chapter 2 and 4 and Jude chapter 1, 6, Jude 1 and 6. It mentions a place where certain fallen angels are currently being held captive in chains and under darkness, waiting their judgment for whatever reason they are apparently guilty of some horrific activity and are not allowed freedom to roam creation. The demons' destruction, Luke chapter 8, verse 32 to 33. Demons apparently always desire to inhabit some kind of body as an alternative to being sent to the deep. They ask for permission to enter the bodies of the large herd of swine or pigs that were feeding nearby, Mark chapter 5, verse 13. Mark chapter 5, verse 13 says, there were about 2,000 in the herds, which was a significant large one. They probably would have preferred entering the people of the nearby city. But they knew Jesus would never grant that, so they opted for the pigs. Luke says that he permitted them to enter the pigs. This is a great reminder that Satan and his host have no power or authority on their own. While the devil is currently called the God of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 4, that does not mean he has freedom to do anything and everything he wants. He is still under the controlling hand of God and cannot go beyond what he permits. We must conclude that in God's timetable, it was not the right time for destroying the demons. Jesus was allowing Satan's evil power to be revealed, as he does today as well. We sometimes ask why certain evil things are allowed to occur on earth now, knowing that Jesus could easily step in and stop them. We are faced with the reality that it is not yet God's time for such actions. Satan is being allowed to display how evil he really is. The reaction of the swine was violent. This peaceful herd of pigs suddenly became extremely agitated and raced off the mountainside headlong into the lake and drowned. After being imprisoned by these demons, Jesus brought him deliverance, the man. Luke chapter 8, verse 34 to 36. Those who were watching over the herd immediately fled from the scene and began telling everyone in the town and around the countryside what had happened. Soon a crowd gathered as everyone who heard about the incident rushed out to see what was going on. Everyone was acquainted with this man because of the disruption he had been causing in their community. So it was difficult for them to believe he would have had an encounter with someone who did what Jesus did. Now, the people couldn't believe because he was causing a great uproar, disruption in their cities. And nobody could tame him, not with chains or with shackles. Nobody could tame him. So this was not the kind of crowd Jesus was used to having gathered around him. Normally, people came to hear him teach and witness the healing he performed for those with special physical needs. But this was an entirely different attraction. Everyone had to see what was happening, a new type of crowd for Jesus. Everyone knew the man who had been possessed. Now they saw him in a new light, clothed, settled in front of Jesus, perfectly lucid. Instead of being attracted to Jesus by what he had done, the people felt great fear. When Jesus accomplished a healing or exorcism, people normally would come rushing and crowd around him, bringing others also who also needed to his touch. His works also drew more people to him, so this reaction of fear was unprecedented. The reason is probably that they focused on the great economic loss from the destruction of the pigs rather than on the value of the man delivered from the demonism. Their priorities were skewed. The man was healed after the demons were removed. Luke chapter 8, verse 36. Said it earlier, the key word in the verse is the Greek word sozo, translated heal. The deliverance from demonism was instant and total. In light of the New Testament frequent use, the term in connection with being saved and becoming a believer in Jesus. We understand that the man's deliverance was spiritual as well as physical. There is further evidence of this in verse 38, where he begged Jesus to allow him to travel with him from that place. He had a great desire to be in Jesus' company. What can we learn from this incident? First, there is no human condition that is beyond Jesus' concern and ability to deal with. Second, we can take great comfort in the realization that Jesus' authority is greater than every evil power, including Satan. And third, we should freely tell others what Jesus has done and still does for us. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. Lord, we thank you for deliverance today and every day. We thank you for keeping us in the midst of all the trials and tribulations that's going on in this earth realm. We thank you for being our Savior, for being our Lord, for being our old companion, oh God, our friend, oh God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you no longer call us slaves, but you call us friends. We ask, Father God, oh God, that you touch someone today. Lord, we pray for Boston, Massachusetts. Lord, we pray that you will heal this city. Father, there's so much going on in this city now. We ask you to heal our city. Oh, Father, bring deliverance to our city. Bring transformation to our city. Lord, we ask you to, oh God, touch those satanists, oh God, that has come into our city to perform satanic rituals. We ask, Father God, that you arrest them in the spirit. Allow them to know that you are God all by yourself, that you are the master of all, oh God, and that nothing can happen in this city or any part of the world that you do not allow. Father, we pray today for those that don't know you as Lord and Savior. Luke says that if you would confess, if you would repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is what Luke chapter 2 says in verse 38. For the promises is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, or crooked generation, the Bible says. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in praise. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, and as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible also says, that's in John 3:16. In John 3:17, the Bible says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil heareth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that if you shall confess with your mouth and believe in the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. See, you have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You see, this is what he did at Calvary. He gave his life on the cross. Sometimes you hear it called a tree. He gave his life. It wasn't that nobody took his life from him. He laid down his life so that you and I would have right to the tree of life, to the fountain of life. We could come. Jesus is the fountain of life. We can come and drink from him, drink life, drink eternal life. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L, you and I. The preacher that you like to watch on TV every Sunday morning, the preacher that you go up and listen to on Wednesday night, the one you listen on Saturday morning, you know, different days people like worship, you know, but it doesn't matter, it's worship. The one preacher that you give your money to, you say, I got the soul into the, him. I like the way he preach on, I like the way he preach on, I like the way she preach on the internet. I like the way she preach on the television. I like that television ministry. I got the soul into her ministry. They all sin. And truth be told, some of them are still sinning. That's the truth be told. Some of them are still sinning. And when they get caught, what happened? The media expose them, which is a sad shame, because it makes all the preachers look bad. You know, when we act up and do the things that God sent out to do, and the media finds out, the media don't play. They don't play. They'll call up the preacher's name and put him on the television, and then everybody, then there are the people that would want to get saved, and those that were saved would say, well, I didn't know that he was like that, she was like that. And that they mock Jesus. People don't want to come to Jesus. The Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6 and 23. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 8 that God commanded his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gave his love for us, his only begotten son. That's his love, that you and I would have the right to the tree of life, that we could come to Jesus and we can repent and bow down, and he will wash us in the blood that never lost its first estate. Listen to me. I want you to know, for it was by grace that you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Doesn't matter how long you've been going and you've been doing the stuff around the church and church building and making the apostle, the bishop, the pastor, the evangelist, the prophetess, you're making them feel happy. So, you know, brother so-and-so always coming, sister so-and-so, I don't even have to ask them twice. They show up and clean the church. They clean the pulpit and they do all this stuff. They ain't going to get you to heaven. Because you're doing the stuff that the pastor asked you to do, That's not going to get you to heaven. What's going to get you to heaven is you believing in Jesus Christ and obeying him. Not even just your believing. Because you can believe in Jesus Christ and still disobey with his commands. What's going to get you to heaven is following the commands. Jesus gave us commands that we need to follow. Hallelujah. It's just, you know, I like to use the analogy of the GPS. You got a GPS in your car, but if you don't follow what the GPS tells you, the direction that has been installed and there for you to get to a certain destination, you're not going to reach your destination. You're going to end up somewhere else. And it's the same way with us. If we don't follow the GPS that God has given us, we're going to end up somewhere else. And that place is called hell, H-E-L-L. And I'm sure you don't want to end up in hell. So in order to go to heaven, you'll have to obey Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. He lets you know that there's no other way. We see that in Rome in Acts chapter 4 and 12. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only name under heaven given among men whereby Jesus is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. And we have to believe him. We have to obey him. We have to follow him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Accept Jesus as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16 and 31. In the book of Revelation chapter 22 and 7, the Bible says, Jesus said, behold, I am coming quickly. Behold, I am coming quickly. He didn't say, I'm coming quick. He said, I'm coming quickly. That's me quicker than you can even anticipate. He's coming quickly. So we have to be ready. You and I, all of us have to be ready. We have to stay ready because when he get here, it's going to be too late to get ready. Somebody said, well, I still got time. No, you don't have time. If you doubt me, look at the news and see those young people that die in the car crash. Look at the young man that fell off in the lake and drowned. He thought he would be able to get back, but the current was so strong. And the mother saying, I don't know why he go over there. He probably could have swim a little bit, but the current was too strong and he couldn't withstand the current. The current dragged him under. You understand? He is gone. Hallelujah. Look at the young girl that tell the parents that she was just going out for a birthday celebration with her friends. She never made it back home. She was murdered, dismembered, and the man was such a gruesome person that he cut her body up, put her body in the trunk of his car, and drove her body all the way to New York City from Boston, Massachusetts, all the way to New York City. Her mama thought she was coming home. She just celebrated her 21st or 22nd birthday. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. If you got the moment and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, use that moment that you got right now to ask Jesus to come into your heart. Not because the preacher say that. You might hear the preacher, the prophet or prophetess tell you that. Not because they say it, but because you know in your heart that you need Jesus. You know that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Ask him to come into your heart. So, Lord Jesus, I have heard the word today, and I am convicted that I am lost. I am lost without you. So, Lord Jesus, I am asking you to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Jesus, according to 1 John 1 and 9. Jesus, I know that I've been living my life as I please. And if I continue living my life this way, I will end up in hell. So I'm asking you to forgive me. Have mercy on me, Lord. Don't give me what I deserve. I deserve death. I deserved the sentence of death and be cast into hell. But give me what I need. Not what I deserve. Give me what I need. I need the gift of salvation. Lord Jesus, touch my body right now and touch my heart. Draw me closer to you, Jesus. I want to be where you are, and I want what you have for me, Lord. You died for me to have this salvation. So today, I'm denouncing Satan and all of his agents and the world system. I'm inviting you now, Jesus, to come into my heart and take up your rightful position as Lord, Savior, and as Redeemer in my heart. I accept you now, Jesus, as my Lord, my Savior, and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, if you just said that prayer, uncommon prayer, and you believe it, you have just received the gift of salvation. It is yours. Nobody can take it from you. I'm telling you right now, it is yours. Just begin to say, Lord, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for dying for me on the cross, on Calvary. I receive you now, Lord, as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Now, if you say that, salvation is yours. It's the gift that God just gave to you. 2,000 years ago, he died on a cross that you might have access to it. For this day, for you to have salvation. Now you got to begin to walk in salvation. Paul said this way, you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, you got to start to walk. Walking means that, you know, got to start to live out your salvation. Understand? And as you begin to live out this salvation, what you have, your life begins to change. Excuse me. You need to find a church. Matter of fact, start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you have a gospel understanding of Jesus Christ, the Lord, our Lord and Savior, that we preach and teach about every single day that we get a chance to come. Because some days we go in the field and we work in the field. So we have to come on at nighttime. But we try to come on every day. Study the word of God. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So study the word. And then call up a pastor, preacher, teacher that know how to baptize in Jesus' name according to Acts 2:38. And tell them you receive the gift of salvation. You are studying the word, but you need to be baptized according to Acts 2:38 or according to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, you need to be baptized. Baptism is part of salvation. You might say, well, the thief on the cross didn't get baptized. Well, that was a different dispensation. So don't let people put that in your mind. You know, in Luke 2:38 requires it. Mark chapter 16 requires that you must be baptized. It's part of your salvation. It's part of your identity. It's part of your proclamation. You're proclaiming to the people that are watching, everybody that's watching, well, you have given your life completely to Jesus. Your open declaration. You are testifying. You're glorifying God when you go down that water. People say, well, oh, he really means what he said. She really means what he said. She's going down the water. See, you're not playing games. You're going down in the water. You understand? You're going down in the water declaring that you have given your life to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then when you come about that water, my God, you are declaring in the water that you have left all that you have held hold on to for over the years in that water. But when you come up to the righteousness of Christ Jesus, who you are in Christ Jesus. You're coming about that water, proclaiming that the goodness of God is in your life. Now, get a church, seek out a church that is preaching and teaching the gospel. And we see that all the time because everybody, every church that you go to building, and they're church building, but we are the church. Every building that you go to is not really teaching the truth. Some people are teaching a half-truth because they want you to be happy. If they tell you the whole truth, you don't want to give no offering. You don't want to pay tithes, you know. So they don't tell you about sin. They don't talk about sin. They don't talk about sin, you know. They talk about name it and claim it, prosperity. And you're going to have a new house. Your husband going to find you. You're going to have a wife and all this stuff. You're going to get promotion on your job. You're going to get a new car, a new house, all this stuff they tell you about, all the stuff that's not going to make sense, that don't make sense, is not going to last, you know. Jesus said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? You got to think, the main thing you ought to be focusing on is your soul. Because after you get the big house, after you get the gorgeous wife or the handsome husband, and you got all the money in the bank, what you going to do? Now they say, you see all the money the people got in the bank, they say the government is getting ready to confiscate their money. People are getting scared and drawing their money, withdrawing their money from the banks. One man there in Texas, he went off to get his money. He's a multimillionaire, and they told him he couldn't get his money. Mike Murdoch, you all know him. He's a preacher. They told him he couldn't get his money. So don't put your hope on this stuff, on the money and all the stuff of the world. Put your hope and trust on Jesus Christ. Live for him. Live for him. Give your life completely over to him. And once you go down in that water, you get baptized, you come up, find a church that's preaching, and get involved in ministry. Do something. Do something. And the thing is that you have to work in ministry. Ministry is all about work and doing something. When Jesus called the disciples and he instructed them and he fed them what they needed to grow, he sent them out. He send them out two by two. He send them to work. Work in the kingdom. Go and win souls for the kingdom. This is what we are called to do, not to go up and they say, well, I'm going to sing in the choir. I'm going to sing on the praise team. And that's all good. I'm going to play the keyboard. All that stuff is good. But the main objective you're called into ministry is to tell somebody else what he has done for you. See, spiritual deliverance was our message today. Coming out of Luke chapter 8, verse 26 to 39, yes. And we see that after Jesus delivered this man from the demons, and he had a legion of demons in him, the man was so elated that he wanted to go with Christ. He wanted to follow Christ wherever Christ go. And that was a good thing. But what did Jesus do? Jesus sent him back to his house and tell him to go tell the people. Go tell them what happened. So the man on his way back home, he was telling everybody. He was evangelizing his city. He was talking to the people about how Christ the Savior, the Lord, had delivered him from his demons that had him in captivity, that had him in bondage. This is your job, not to stay around and I got to sing. I'm playing the keyboard, playing the drums. That's all you do. No, get out. After you play the drums and play the keyboard and you did the worship, let's go. Go to the restaurant to eat. You see something? Can I just tell you about my friend? Most people are not evangelizing. This is why the world is the way it is right now. Not too many people are evangelizing. I was in Africa. Went to Africa a couple of times and we did evangelism over there because that's what it's all about. We go to the Caribbean, we go to Canada. You know, we evangelize. Then they go to different states here in America and evangelize. I don't go looking to make money because I have a skill. I'm retired. This year I'll be 74 years old, and I'm retired. I still go and do some work now. Like tomorrow, I'm going to do some work and finish up a job tomorrow morning. But every chance I get, I tell somebody about Jesus. And many, most of the times, I be telling about what he's done for me. Because my testimony is my man's sermon. You know, the Bible says you're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You no longer love your life unto death. Revelation 12 and 11. You have to share that. You have to share that word. You have to share that thing that God has done for you. People are too embarrassed to say, well, you know, I used to sell my body. They don't want to talk that stuff. I used to be a thief. I don't want to tell that stuff. No, I was a liar. I blasphemed. I cussed every other. They don't want to share that stuff because now they're wearing a three-piece suit, shark skin suit, alligators, crocodile shoes. They're dressed up. They got the gold, the diamond, Rolex watch, all the driving a nice BMW, Lexus, whatever, Rolls Royce. They, you know, they got the fine cars. They don't want to talk to about living a nice community, gated community now, you know. They don't want to tell people what Jesus had delivered them from. They think if they show the, how all the nice stuff that they got, that's it. No. That's not going to draw nobody to Christ. When people hear that God has drawn you out of darkness into his light, they say, well, if he can draw you out of that darkness stuff that you was in, that vice that you have, maybe he can draw me out. Well, I tell people, you know, I be overseas somewhere preaching, and I tell people that I was a crackhead. You know, cocaine was my vice. I couldn't live without it. When I didn't have no money, I said I wasn't going to get high anymore because I didn't have no money. But no sooner I get a job to make some money, a couple thousand dollars, I call the man and says, I need to get a 16 or 8 ball ounce I want to get because I need enough that I wouldn't have to go back. You know, because by the time I get all messed up and my eyes become glassy, I didn't want to go in the pub because I look funny, you know, look weird. And I wanted to have more than enough so I can smoke and smoke and smoke and get crazy. But thank God I don't have to do that anymore. I get high on the Holy Ghost. I get hold on his holy presence. And I'm not ashamed of telling people because I'm delivered now. And no devil in hell can get me go back. I can say that boldly. And no devil in hell can get me go back getting high, getting drunk or anything anymore. You know, I drink wine. I got wine here in my house. And that wine will last me for months and months and months because all I'm doing is drinking a little bit. When I do the Holy Communion, I drink a little bit in the temple, and it will last me for months. When I was getting high, that'd be gone in 1 day, 1 hour. It'd be gone. But thank God for Jesus, you know. So we just thank God and praise God for all those that receive the gift of salvation and for those who would hear this word that we have put on there by the Holy Spirit today and really allow God to come into their hearts and take control. We pray that God moves upon everyone that hear this word today, that their life don't remain the same, that they trust him and rely on him to take them to the next realm, the next dimension in him. Because he said he promised that he would take us from glory to glory. That's what he takes us from faith to faith. All we have to do is stay connected to him. If we want to go, we got to stay connected. We're not going to go with him if we're not connected. He wants to take us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. But we got to stay connected. God bless you all. Have a blessed day today. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I hope to get home early from this job. Because I just got to put the trim on the bathtub, set the toilet, set the sink and the vanity, and I should be out of there. Everything is ready for me to put in position, and I should be in and out of there a couple hours, I believe, and get back home. Everything, and we are put on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you all. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to minister this word that you have given to us on spiritual deliverance, knowing that people will hear it and know that don't matter what they're going through, what vice that they're dealing with, that you're able and that you have the authority to deliver any of us that call upon you in repentance from whatever vice that we are doing. Father, we ask you to continue to heal. Even as you have touched the little baby that we prayed for yesterday that has the brain tumors, Lord, we pray and we thank you, God, that the report will be great. Oh, God, she will come out and will not have any trace of tumors in her brain. Lord, we are praying now for Pastor Apostle Washington and Bishop Washington and Deacon Frazier. We are praying for our Pastor Brown and Evangelist Brown and Evangelist Tina, Evangelist Sheila, Evangelist Darlene Campbell, Prophetess Jackie, Prophetess Marcella Smith, Lord, Prophetess Christina Merkles. Lord, we are praying for Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. Lord, we are praying, oh, Father God, for even all those Prophetess Latonya, Tawanya Anderson. Lord, we're praying, oh, for the Prophetess Cheryl and Minister Jones. Lord, we pray for all those, even those I don't remember the names, Lord. We ask you, God, to touch today, Lord. But, Father, we ask you to release the anointing to the earth realm even right now. God, let your anointing go forth right now. And, Lord, touch those that are under the sound of my voice, Lord. Those that would hear this ministry today, Lord, God. We ask you, God, let them not remain the same, Father. Heal, deliver, and restore, God, whatever sickness, whatever ailment that your people are dealing with today. We know that you are able to heal it, God. Those that call upon your name in repentance, Lord, you are able to heal and deliver and restore, God. We ask you to restore marriages today, Lord. Restore marriages today. Heal, oh God, broken hearts today, Lord. We ask you, oh God, to set the captives free today. Oh, Father, we pray for that son. We pray for that daughter, oh God, that has left home, oh God. Father, we pray for those children, oh God, that are not following the instruction of the parents, God. We ask you to open the ears, Father God, and allow them to hear, God. Allow them to hear, oh God, instructions. Not only hear instructions, but allow them to follow instructions, God. We are praying now in the name of Jesus Christ for a supernatural move in this nation, oh God. It seems like the nation is going every which way, but right. Oh, Father, we pray that you move, oh God, and bring restoration, oh God. Lord, touch the president, touch the vice president. Lord, we pray, God, that you touch the senators and touch, oh God, Congress, Lord, the House of Representatives. Father, we touch the Supreme Court Justice Department. God, there's so much stuff going on and so much that we need to pray for. But, Lord, we are trusting in you, Lord, that even what we don't call out, God, that you hear, oh God, because you hear the secrets of the heart. Oh, Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, that you, oh God, bring healing to the nations, all the nations that are wanting to fight and want to kill one another, Lord. We ask you to bring healing, Lord. Bring restoration, oh God. Cause the presidents and the prime ministers and all them all over the world. God, we pray for Israel, Lord God. We pray for Jerusalem, Lord. We ask you, God, to touch today, Lord God. Bring healing, oh God. They're trying to kill each other. They're trying to use, oh God, supernatural powers, oh God, nuclear powers, oh God, to hurt each other. We ask you, God, to move by your spirit, God. We ask you to sterilize the earth realm even right now. God, we ask you to sterilize the earth realm, all of this stuff that's going on that is not of you, Lord. We ask you to sterilize it right now, God. Yes, Lord Jesus, oh God, bring unity, Lord. Release the spirit of healing in the earth right now, God. God, release it in the earth right now, God. We need healing in the earth, God. Too many people are fighting for each other. They're trying to destroy each other for what? For stuff that they can't carry from this world, oh God. Everybody wants to be the head. Nobody wants to be the tail. Hallelujah, God. We ask you, Father God, to move by your spirit, God. Your word says not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And we ask in you, Lord. You say we have not, or we ask not. And when we ask amiss. I'm not asking amiss, Lord. I'm asking you to touch the nations, Lord. I'm asking you to touch prime ministers and presidents, oh God. Congressmen, oh God. Touch husbands, touch wives, oh God. Or touch sons and daughters, Lord. Oh, Father, we ask you, oh God, to, oh God, come and commune with us today, Lord God. We need to hear from you more and more and more and more, Lord. We want to hear from you, Lord Jesus. We want you to touch us in a miraculous way, Lord God. God, we are not trying to do stuff to be seen or heard, but we are doing our best that people would hear you through us as we open our mouth and sound the alarm, oh God. Oh, my God, we want to sound this earthly trumpet that you have given us that people would know that we belong to you and that you are our daddy, oh God. Oh, Father, we ask you, Lord God. Lord, heal our nations, oh God. Heal our leaders, oh God. Lord, they're fighting all over the world. They're fighting for positions that don't belong to them. They're even doing things that you have not instruct them to do, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, we ask you, Lord God, to show up in the midst of our situations, oh God. Show up in the midst of our life, oh God. Show up, Lord Jesus. We can't do anything without you, Lord. Lord, if you don't show up, Lord, we all going to be lost, oh God. We're going to be lost doing what we should be doing. Oh, Father, we need you, Lord. We need you today, Lord God. We need you to touch the teachers, oh God. Touch the teachers, oh God. Touch the doctors, Lord. Touch the lawyers, oh God. Touch all of those that are in position of authority, Lord God. Touch the nurses, oh God. Oh, Father, we ask you to touch the children, the students, oh God. They're fighting. They have so much grievance against each other. All they want to do is fight. Oh, God, they can't even deal with life on life terms, oh, God. We ask you, oh, God, to open their wisdom eye, oh, God, that they might see and their ears that they might hear, Lord God. They don't know the reason why they're doing what they're doing. All of a sudden, they want to kill each other. Oh, God, Father, I just pray for peace in the earth right now, Lord God. I just pray that you will show up, God. Look beyond our faults and see our needs, oh, God. We all have faults, Lord God. None of us is perfect. Only you are perfect, Lord. So we ask you, Father God, to just show up in our trials. Show up in our trials, oh God. Be our judge, oh God. Be our magistrates, oh God. Be the one that would just run out, have all control, all authority, oh God. We ask you to show up for us, Lord God, and help us to do the things the right way, the way that they're supposed to be done, oh God. Lord, let us just not thinking that we are greater or more than this body or that body, but we are all the same, oh God. We are all the same, depending on you for ear to breathe, oh God. Oh God, we depend on you to give us the ear to breathe, oh God. Give us the food to eat, Lord. Give us everything. You are the one who provides for us, oh God. We are not able to provide for ourselves. Without you, we are nothing, oh God. So we thank you, Father. We thank you and we praise you, oh God. Lord, we ask you to touch Africa. Africa, the continent is splitting. It is splitting. The land is splitting. And the Atlantic Ocean is coming in between the nation, the continent, oh God. Only you can allow something like that, oh God. Nobody ever thought that the nation, that the continent of Africa was split in half. But God, is happening before our very eyes, oh God, just to show them that man is not great, but only God is great. Only God is great. And Father, we thank you. We thank you and praise you for this day. Lord, we ask you to bless every corner of this earth, oh God. Lord, we ask you to touch every man, every boy, every girl. Touch today, Lord. Touch today. Lord, we need you to touch us, oh God. Touch us in a special way today, Lord. And let us know that it's you, Lord. It is you, God, that makes the difference in our life. And Father, help us to love unconditionally. Love each other unconditionally, Lord. We ask you to help us, God. Help us, God. Help us to stop fighting against each other. Help us to start to live with each other. Oh, God, help us to start practicing how to live with each other, God. Oh, Father, you have created all of us in your image, oh, God. You are the one that gave us life, Lord God. But now we seem like we're acting like it's ourselves that give us life, Lord. Lord, we ask you to move, Lord. Lord, we need you to move on our behalf. We in need of your presence, Father. We are in need of your presence. God, I speak to the atmosphere right now. I speak to the atmosphere right now. And Lord, I ask the atmosphere to carry the spirit of this ministry every way, God. Oh, God, that men and women would know that you are God. You are Savior. You are Redeemer. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, that you are the beginning and the end, oh God. Oh, Father God, that you're the one that sit high and you see low. You know all. Oh, God, nothing happened without you. Oh, Father, we just pray today, Lord God. We pray for a supernatural move in the earth right now. Oh, Jesus, we ask you to move in the earth right now. Lord, we need you. We need you as never before. There's tsunamis taking place, earthquakes taking place. Oh, God, right now there's people, nations are planning, oh, God, a nuclear destruction, Lord God. But, Lord, we know that you are in control. Even though man planning stuff, we know that you're still in control, oh, God, because you can stop it. You can stop anything that they start, Lord God. You have all authority, oh, God. Yes, Lord, so we thank you. We praise you, O God. We praise you, O God. Hallelujah. Satan had to ask you not to send them into the abyss. O God, in the chapter that we taught on this morning, if Satan had the power, he would have just do what he want to. But he had to beg you not to send them, send the demons, send them into the abyss. Oh, Father, we thank you, O God, for having all power and all authority, O God. And, Lord, for keeping us in the midst of every trial and every situation, O God, when we are not able to keep ourselves, O God. But you kept us, and you're keeping us all the time in every area of our lives. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for being our shelter in the midst of the storm. We thank you, O God, for being Daddy. We thank you for being God, O the God of our salvation, O God, the one who keeps us, O God, the one who shelters us, the one who shields us. We thank you, Father. We thank you and we praise you, Father. Lord, now as we leave this land, but never your presence, O God, we ask you to go with us. Go with us wherever we go, Lord. We ask you to lead us. Lead us and guide us into all truth, O God. All truth, O God. Help us to speak truth in love. Help us to speak truth. Help us to love unconditionally, O God. Don't let us love because somebody can do something for us or help us in this area, Lord, but let us love unconditionally. We don't need to get something from somebody to love them. Oh, Father, we just ask, oh, God, that you empower us with a deeper love for each other, oh, God. Even those that don't love us, empower us to love them in spite of how they treat us, oh, God. We ask you, God. God, this is what we ask. We want agape love. That's the love that we are crying out for, Lord. Give us that agape love for each other, oh, God. Unconditional love. Because you love us unconditionally, even when we don't praise you, even when we don't exalt you, even when we don't magnify your name, you still love us. And God, that's the love that we want to have for our brothers and sisters. Unconditional love, oh God. We pray this day that God, you impart this love in us. Oh God, give us this love. Cause our cup to overflow with this love. Love like David, oh God. Overflow with love, O God, for each other, God. Then the world will know that we truly are your disciples, O God. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. We pray. Amen and amen and amen. Now, Father, as we leave this line, but never your presence, O God, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said to let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And Jesus was just saying that the characteristics, his characteristics should be seen in our life, you know, as believers. When people see us, they should see everything that looks like Jesus in us. Hallelujah. The love we have for each other. Hallelujah. They should see in us. They should see in us because we should have the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. I always tell my family, I don't care what nobody do to me. You can't do nothing to me great enough to cause me to hate you. I may not want to be with you. You know, I may not go to all you can eat with you. I may not go to the cabaret with you, go to the carnival with you, but I can't hit you. Because why? I've been praying for this for years. For years. God, help, give me the love. Give me that love, that unconditional love in my heart for my brothers and my sisters. I can't. And I'm not going to let anybody get into my head, you know. We used to say in the Narcotics Anonymous meetings, don't let nobody live rent-free in your head. Don't let nobody live rent-free. If you're going to get in there, you're going to pay. But you're not going to get in there for free. Not in my head. Maybe in somebody's head, but not in my head. So I let my head stay open for Christ, the love of Christ. I don't do everything perfect, but I know that I'm doing things much better than I did years ago. Much better. Because God is ordering my steps. Hallelujah. So you all on the line, have a blessed day. We're going to get out of here now. And we'll be back tomorrow. Sometime in the day we're going to come on. I know, like I said, I got to go do some work in the morning because that's how I take care of the orphans. And that's how I help the widows that call upon us. And I help the fatherless that call upon us for help. We are able to help them because we go to work. We don't get on here trying to get money from people. Some people used to give orphans, but now we do this thing all on our own. By the skills that the Lord has given us, He is our helper. So I'm going to go sit down and relax now. After this word, I might fall asleep like this. He'll take me to sleep. So you all have a blessed day. If you got to go out, make sure that you pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to your surroundings, because we're living in perilous times. So pay attention, okay? Because the life you save may be yours. You'll hear whoever's coming up behind you. You harm, you'll be able to avoid it. All right. So have a blessed day. Bye-bye. And thank you for being here with us today. We do appreciate you coming on to be with us. God bless. Bye.